Well, I desire your prayers this morning. Pray that the Lord would help us. I really appreciate the Lord today and what he means to me. I hope this is an encouragement to you. It has been to me. God really loves us. And so, personalized, God loves you. And in his great heart, he really wants you to be saved. And he really does what he can to make sure that you get to go to heaven. Now, I know that we don't always look at God like that, but it's God's self-described part of himself. This is how he describes himself. God is love, and he does everything he can, and he wants us to be saved. And I appreciate that we have a Father in heaven, that there is a Father. That's very meaningful. Someone mentioned to me recently that they had a lot of trouble in their life, and they said one of the things that they thought was made their life so troublesome throughout their life is that they didn't have the privilege of ever knowing their mother and father. They never had the privilege of having a family. And they talked about how much trouble that brought to them and what they missed. The encouragement, the help, the somebody to care for them and help them. They had lost all of that because they didn't have a mother and father. And I thought when that person was telling me that, I thought, you know, that's what God wants to be to us. God wants us to recognize him as this provider, keeper, protector, helper, someone that will be there for us when we need someone there. A human ear cannot always be reached. A human's mind can't always understand. But God wants to be in this position to where he's there for us. And he wants the relationship with us. God works to get a relationship with you, with me, I mean, with everybody. God wants the relationship. And he wants to be able to take us to heaven. He really, really desires for us to be with him eternally. Someone messaged me earlier this week and said, "Brother, I'm sorry. I hope you can forgive me again." And I'll be honest with you, that was a strange statement in my world. I hope that you can forgive me again. And I thought, that isn't a question that should even have to be asked to me. Can I forgive you again? How many times are we supposed to forgive someone? Well, Jesus said when the disciples was interested in that, because no doubt they run into these human qualities too, and they asked the Lord, how many times do we forgive our brother? How often are we supposed to forgive our brother? Seven times? And Jesus said, no, seven times 70 in one day forgive your brother. And I want to say this, you've heard me say it before, but those numbers have definite meanings. I mean, but the idea of seven in the Bible is a complete. That's the completion. Creation was completed in 7 days. Seven was the number that represented completion. And so really what the Lord was saying, he wasn't meaning that 490 times in one day, which would be unreachable. We understand that. But really what it means is, it means a complete forgiveness and always a complete forgiveness. There isn't a time for us to hold an unforgiveness. You completely forgive and you completely always forgive. And I wanted to make this point because Jesus would have never have gave us a higher quality than he possessed. God said that because that's what God does. And I am so grateful today, and I hope this is an encouragement to you today, that God is calling for you always. And God, in the times that we have our places in life, He knows that we are dust. He knows that we have failures of mind. He knows that we're not superhuman. We're not super spiritual people. He knows all of this about us. He knows that if we don't stay focused and close to the Lord and walk in the Spirit, that we're likely to fulfill some of the lust of the flesh or some of the desires that naturally come up. We are not a defeatist here. I don't believe in saying that the gospel doesn't work. The gospel works absolutely in our lives. And it can change the old man to a new man. And it can make a guy that used to throw the hammer not throw one. He can calm our kids. And he can do all that. But boy, do I run into my humanity at times. Because I don't always walk like that. But the Lord, thank God, He forgives us. Isn't that a wonderful idea that you don't have to allow those things, not today, not tomorrow, not twice yesterday, three times today. Do you know the Lord wants us to keep going until we find the victory in it? He wants us to do it, and He's always calling for us. He'll forgive us 70 times 7 in one day. He completely and totally forgives us. And He calls to us and wants us to have an experience with Him. One scripture says, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." All of you, come unto me. It's a call. Come unto me. But Lord, I ain't been doing well. Brother Sammons used to say, he said this quite often. He said, right when people should run to the Lord, they run away from Him. No, when you find yourself in those kind of places, know that the Lord isn't ready to strike the blow against you. He isn't ready to destroy you. He's actually saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. This is the intention that the Lord has for every one of us. So I want to explore it a little bit. I want to think of it as a call of the Lord for us in our lives. Come closer. Come closer. Sometimes people will say to us, they'll say, well, I'd go to meeting, but I don't have the right clothes. And I have never said to somebody, well, you better get the right clothes for you. The Lord's after you. Come on, the Lord will deal with you. The way you that ain't what we're talking about or what we're doing. The Lord wants you to come dealing with you about your own life and your own heart. The Lord knows where you're at better than anybody can ever do. The Lord knows where you're at and how to deal with you in your life. And His call is to say, come, give me a chance to show you what I am. Give me an opportunity to let you know that I can make your life better. But come and let me allow you to feel what it's like to be loved like this. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Another scripture, I don't remember exactly where it's at, but there's a scripture that says, come and taste the Lord. Come and taste and see that He is good. You're never going to know. We do it a lot at our house. If a wife makes something, sometimes a girl makes something, sometimes they'll have some kind of a concoction of a drink where they put this together and that together, and they do this, and they want somebody to share it. Sometimes they'll come and say, Dad, taste this. Taste this. Well, I can be a good guinea pig. I'm always in. Okay, let me share this. See what you think. Taste this and see whether it's good or not. Well, I don't always say that it's good, but the point is that you're not going to know. But the Lord offers Himself to us. Come and see. Don't allow the things of your life to stop this. I'm there for you. Can you imagine? I know that there's times that the devil tricks our brain into thinking that somehow God is sitting there ready to do some strike to you. He's not. He's calling us to serve Him, to love Him. He wants to show us what He's about. But as the Lord always does, living for the Lord is a covenant. It is agreement. God said to the children of Israel, if you'll be my people, I'll be your God. I'll give you the benefits of all of that. So over in Malachi, I want to start here in the third chapter of Malachi. In the eighth verse, it says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. You ever think about robbing God? Well, everything is God's. But he says, wherein have ye robbed? But ye say, wherein have ye robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. This is the wonderful thing about God, and this was expressed through the Old Testament too. You know, there was times that God was upset with Israel, and he had to do something to get them. His desire to God, remember this, God expressed about himself, God is love. God doesn't change. This nation has not changed that about God. Your actions doesn't change that about God. God is love. He is always love, and he works out of love in everything that he does. He works out of love. And he works out of love with this. Isn't this a wonderful idea, though? Not that they robbed God. Not that they was making idols. Not that they was doing what they are. But isn't it wonderful that God looked at all of that and still made a way for them to come back? Isn't that a beautiful idea? You know, to us, there's times that we'll just plain cut people off. I mean, there's times that we may say, I'm done with you. I'm done with things. And in all of this, when the children of Israel done what they did, over and over, when they rebelled and done that, God still offered and made a way for them, and he called them to him. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And this is the verse. This is part of the verse I want to talk about. It says, "And prove me now, herewith saith the Lord, prove me. Prove me that I'm sincere." Prove me that I want to help you in life. You've done these things and have made it impossible. In God's faithfulness to our souls, he is not going to do something that is going to destroy us. And there's sometimes prosperity would destroy us. When we're going down the wrong way, doing the wrong thing, I can't say it was pleasant, but I can tell you two times in my Christian experience to where I wasn't saying I was out sinning or wanted to go away from the Lord or doing all that, but I knew I was drifting. I knew that I wasn't going the right direction, but if I kept going that direction, I was really going to get in trouble. And I was drifting like that, and do you know the Lord allowed something into my life that just plain woke me up? It just shocked me into the realization that I'm not in control of things like I think I am. My life is totally out of control, and I begin to call on the Lord. Lord, help me. Have mercy on me. And to begin to realize this was God's love for me. This was where God said, Marty, you're robbing me. You're robbing me of time. You're robbing me of devotion. You're robbing me of faithfulness. You're robbing me of what I want you to be a witness to. You're taking all and you're doing it and you're going the wrong way. And he stopped me in the course. Thank God that he stopped me in the course. And twice in my life, the Lord has done that. And the Lord says to them, you get back to this place. And I'm going to challenge you. You prove me. The Lord, you know, if somebody said that to me, I mean, I don't think I would, but I mean, I could be offended. What do I need proof? Don't I prove it? No, the Lord has said, I want you to put me to the test. Live for me and see what I'll do. You come in and you start doing what I told you to do. You start doing this and prove me and see if I won't be God beyond your wildest dreams. Beyond your wildest expectation. The scripture says that he can do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think. according to the power that worketh in us. I can think a lot of things and I can imagine a lot of things, but the scripture says he can do exceedingly and abundantly above all of that in our lives. Come, prove me, the Lord says. Put it to the test. Have faith in me. Have faith in me that I can deal with your family. Have faith in me that I can handle this situation. Have faith in me that I can help you in your body. Linda and I had a conversation yesterday. We was thinking about timing and all. What was it? We ended up 14, 15 years ago. She had a major heart issue of some sort. And her heart, I mean, I would listen to her heart and I did not know how she was living. It was flip-flopping so bad. It wouldn't beat hardly two or three beats in a row without just flip-flopping and bouncing around and all that. And all of that is happening. We was talking about this yesterday and saying, how wonderfully God blessed her. Come prove me. See if I won't be God to you. See if I can't help you with these kind of things. And it's saying how the Lord helped her, and she started mentioning, and she mentioned that one. You know, she was prayed for, anointed and prayed for, and the Lord did that. And she started saying these things and she said, I got anointed and prayed for, and that didn't happen again. And then she said this other issue and said, I got anointed and prayed for that, and it was all gone. The Lord said, come prove me. See if I won't be God to you when you start doing this. You know, God is amazing at this. God can perform miracles that the world can't see. God will perform miracles for us that the gainsayer and the world will never see it. He don't put it on the billboards. He don't put it out in the lights. But in our lives, the Lord will do things and change circumstances and heal our body and touch our minds and help us with these things and maneuver things and do things. Come and see. Prove me and see if I won't be God to you. Years ago, I believe in being subject to the will of God. And God can allow any kind of thing into our life for our betterment. But I remember very vividly when I went out full time and the consecrations that I made. I made consecration. And after consecration, just consecrated everything. Consecrated vehicles. Consecrated things. One time in particular, the Lord blessed me to have nearly a completely new vehicle. It's the only one I ever completely had. It was like a vehicle with almost no miles on it, a new vehicle, and I felt very responsible. The Lord had given me the vehicle. I didn't buy it. The Lord gave me the vehicle, and I didn't know what to do, and I looked at the insurance prices, and that was a lot of insurance payout to get, and I felt the Lord inspired me. Commit the van. I gave it to you. Just consecrated. And I consecrated that vehicle because I thought, what a shame that would be. You know how our human minds is. What a shame it would be for me to wreck and destroy a van and not have it after God worked with somebody to get it. I thought, that would be so bad. Maybe I should do it. And I felt the inspiration of the Lord saying, commit this to me. I can keep whatever you have. I consecrated that thing to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. The miracles that God spared that vehicle. There was times though it looked like there had to be a crash, and there was not a crash. There was one time particularly a deer come running, and we was traveling middle of the night. I was set cruise control about 75. I think we was going to Wisconsin or something, and we was cruising, and here come a deer across the median and come right in, and I didn't even have time to do it. I never touched anything, and that deer was coming, and it looked like a complete hit on that, and something, I just said, it looked to me like, I always said the angels did it, but as I went by, that deer had come, and it was upside down and its feet was in the air and it was spinning like a top right at my window. It spent right by the mirror. I went by it and it just spun like that right there, and it went right by it, and I just felt like the Lord just spun that deer right out and completely missed me, and I was went by and said, thank the Lord. the Lord brought to my mind. I can keep that which thou hast committed to me. Prove me. You live for me. Give me your heart. Give me all this stuff in your life. You prove me and see if I can't keep it better than anybody else can. You bring it to me and see if I won't do more with it than you could ever imagine that can be done for it. God is wanting to be faithful to us. And what the Lord really wants to do is build a relationship with us and build our most holy faith in Him. Another time we was going on, I want to tell you, God's proven Himself to me. So I just want to tell you, we was going along, this wasn't that long ago. We was going along and there was somebody come flying by me. Maybe I should have been over. It seemed like it was so much traffic, but I was in the passing lane on the right. A big truck was up ahead of me. I was going by and somebody come by me in a hurry. He was driving a pickup truck. A bigger size pickup truck, and he was pulling like a lowboy behind him, like a big, you carry a big equipment on. And he was coming by with no equipment on it, but he come through there, and he come real fast, and he did not have room. I say he didn't have room to get in between me, get back over into the passing lane. And he come flying by there, and he started over, and I immediately seen him coming over, and I said, oh no, I tried to get over. I mean, it's guardrails right here close, nowhere to go, and here it come. And I was waiting for impact of his trailer to smash the side of our van, and it didn't. It looked to me like the whole back end of that trailer merged through our front of our van. I don't know. There wasn't a collision or anything, but it looked like it went through the van, not around it. It was right there, and I was like, come and prove. Come and prove me and see if I can't be God enough in your life and direct you and keep you. And the things that happen in our life that look like they're going to be something that's not good, the Lord wants to say, you hang in there with me and you live for me and see what the end of that thing will be. Joseph loved the Lord. He lived for the Lord. He was a righteous person. He wanted to do right. But the Lord put him into a real place, allowed him to be thrown in a well. He got thrown in the well, and then they come and got him and sold him into slavery like nothing. That's not being cared for. But Joseph had his eyes on the Lord. Do you know when we go through these things in the Lord, He says, prove me and see what I'll do for you in life. And so, you know the story of Joseph. He went in and he was, history says some of it through the scriptures, but that he was a very good looking young man. He was very educated, he was a smart person, he was always put up, and Potiphar put him up in charge of his house. You remember the story? And what happened, and through this event, and no doings of his own, he gets thrown into prison. You know, God had a point for all of that, and he ends up being elevated and being lifted up second to the Pharaoh and was put up in his place, and God put him there to save his people and bring them out. Prove me, God says. See if I can't work in your life. So he says here, bring all your tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now wherewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive. And here is the covenant. I got windows in heaven. And I'm going to open them for you. If you'll keep my commandments. If you'll live for me and be faithful for me, the windows of heaven will be opened. Have you ever had God opened the windows of heaven? He's promised this. If you'll do these things, I'll open the windows of heaven. I'll pour out the blessings on your life. I'll give you what you need in life. You can have confidence in me in life. You can have security in your life. I know there's Social Security. We look at this safe nation we've got and the way it's built. And I thank God. I thank God was in some of those things and the places that we live. And I thank God for His providence and all of those kind of things. But I'm going to tell you something much more secure than all of that. This place right here. Oh, I've told this story many times. But it was the hardest, probably the hardest time in my life. And I felt like I never had a mind not to serve the Lord, but I didn't feel like I could go on. And I started telling the Lord, crying with tears running down my face, telling the Lord, I'm at my wit's end. I'm at the end of the rope. I actually felt like that my fingernails was in the very end of a rope and I was clinging. And that's all that I had left. And I started telling the Lord, I can't do this. I felt like I didn't have the emotional ability. I didn't have the strength of character. I had nothing to go on with. I didn't want to quit the Lord. It wasn't that. I just didn't have any reserve left emotionally or anything left. And I started telling the Lord, I'm at my wit's end. I'm done. Lord, if you don't help me, I'm going to be destroyed. If you don't help, and you know what? This passage of Scripture, he says, will I not open the windows of heaven? I felt like God just opened the windows of heaven. It was like the whole ceiling opened up. It didn't, I mean physically, but it felt like, and the Lord just poured a grace and power in my life that was incredible. It was just incredible. I'm there completely at my wit's end, and all of a sudden, I feel a grace overwhelm me. That you can do this now. I'm going to give you a power and something outside of yourself. I knew from that moment that this event that I was going through, this hardest pain of my life, it did not change, folks. Not one element of that circumstance changed. What changed was inside me. What changed was the grace that God gave me to be able to do it. Folks, this is what the disciples and the early people, when Christ came, this was the mistake they made. They thought he was coming to give them a natural kingdom. He came to bring the kingdom within. He came to give a power within, and he invites us to this power that he has and that we always are praying, Lord, change this circumstance. Lord, change this situation. You know, a lot of times the Lord wants to empower us in the circumstance. The circumstance is necessary. Lord, give me the ability to go through this. It's not always easy to see suffering. It's not always easy for me to suffer. It's not always easy to see a loved one in a place. It's not always easy to go through these things. But the Lord has said to us, come and try me. Come and prove me. Come and taste and see that I am good. Put your faith and confidence in me and see if it doesn't work. We believe in the power of prayer. We say that God is a hearer and answer of prayer, and we believe those things, but unless we put that to the test, say, Lord, I'm going to test you. I don't know how many of you in here are familiar with the story of George Mueller. George Mueller's story was one of my favorite stories. George Mueller lived back, I don't know, up to the early 1800s, I guess. I mean, he's back in history somewhere, back in the... And anyway, he was a young man that had a religious background. He was German, and he had a religious background, but he, as a young man, went far away from the Lord. He was a drunk, and he done all these things. And the Lord dealt with him and saved him. And in the process of time, he come to this place to where his mind was, as he looked around the religious world, his mind become, God is real. God has done something for me, and God is real, and I'm going to take my life and prove that fact. I am going to prove that God is real. And so in the endeavors of his whole life, when instead of going to man or going to anything, he purposed that I'm going to get victory through the power of prayer. I am going to prove that God is real and that he hears and answers prayer. I don't want it to be clouded up by all this man's doing. And he run orphanages and the things he did. And sometimes he was ridiculous to the world. But you know what he did? He took this and said, God said, prove me. I'm going to prove him. I'm going to prove that God is still real. We say to our family, the friends, the people around us and witness to us, we want to witness Christ. We want them to see, they want to see God. We want them to see God. I'm going to challenge us to see more of God. I want to challenge us to have faith in God that when people look at what we're doing, they're going to wonder why. Why are you doing that? That's okay. Why are you doing that? Well, I'm doing that because I may be able to do this or do that, or I may be able to do something of my own, but I want the windows of heaven to open up. I want to know God is real. I had a discussion one time with someone, and we believe in Holy Ghost leadership. And we believe at our meetings that this isn't preset. And there, the ministers are sitting around. When it comes time for the word, we believe in Holy Ghost leadership, that God can pick the minister of His choosing for the hour of His choosing and the time of His choosing. And we act on that. And so I was talking with someone time, and I ended up telling them in this conversation, I'm one of the ministers. And the temptation to have these little signals where if I've got my coat on, everybody knows I'm going to pray or preach. Or if I'm sitting in a certain spot, then I'm more likely to preach. And this indication that human eye, I told him, I said, I don't want any of it. I don't want today. And this is why. I want to be able to testify that God is real. I want to testify that what we're doing is real. This is what we do. This is what we believe. Let's prove it. God is faithful. And do you know God proves that over and over and over again, that He's faithful? And do you know that you can go and study and do all that, and it's well that we do. We should show ourselves approved. Sure, that's what we do. We should seek God for a message. We do all those kind of things. But I'm going to tell you from a minister's point of view, God can speak to you in the seat 2 minutes before the service time, and you're the man with the message. God can do it His way. And you know, we want to see the Lord. If we'll commit ourselves to the Lord, I can tell you, you'll see more of the Lord. Because He's inviting us. One scripture, what, Hebrews 4, Brother Mansell, I think it is Hebrews 4, that says, come boldly to the throne of grace. He's inviting you. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. And help. Find grace to help in time of need. This scripture is an invitation to everybody. Why can I come boldly? Why can you come boldly? Because Christ already done it. We can come boldly to the throne. If you feel like, well, I'm unworthy. Well, you are. But you can come boldly because of your faith in Christ. Christ has already done it. Come boldly with this. And folks, again, boldness is not pride. It is, humility and pride are opposite. Humility and boldness is not. You can be humbly bold. You're coming boldly. You can come boldly humble because you can come boldly in Christ and know that you're not worthy to come. But the Lord is saying to us, prove me. See if I won't do these things. I want to look at another scripture. Time's got away from us. I want to look at another in Leviticus. Leviticus 26 and 2. Speaking of the mercies of God, I'm glad for the way the Lord deals with us and helps us. It says, Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them. Now listen, this is it. This is what it's set up on. If you will do these, if you will keep my commandments. I know this was the Old Testament. The idea is the same. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield her fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time. Now, what that's talking about is that the bounty, because there's seasons, what it's saying is that you're, it, it's It's a poetic way of saying it, but what it's saying is you're going to sow, you sow and you reap. You sow and you reap. And what he's saying is that you're going to sow and then you're going to reap. And when you reap, the reaping's going to be so much that you're barely going to have time to reap it before you have to sow it again. That is bountiful. And the Lord is trying to say there will be such increase shall reach into the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. You know, we talk about war and talk about all those kind of things, but I remember Brother Salmon's saying one time about this idea. He said, somebody had said, well, we have to have a military. And Brother Salmon's made the comment and said, if everybody in this nation served the Lord like they ought to, you wouldn't have to have a military. Because God can do anything. And he said, you will dwell in your land safely. I know he can use a military too for that, or he can use whatever he wants to. But God has made a promise. I'm going to, if you'll keep my commandments, you'll have faith in me. If you'll live for me, I want you to prove me. I want you to do this. I want you to prove me and see if you won't be blessed in your soul. I will give you peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through the land. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. Now, I want to say something here. This wasn't realized. This was what God said, but it wasn't realized. Because they didn't do what the Lord said to do for the most of the history. They did not keep their stuff. See, the Lord makes a covenant with us. If you'll be my people, I'll be your God. Come and prove me. Come and see if I won't do this for your life. Put me to the test. I'll show you that I'm God. I'll work in your life with these things. I'll help you in the things that you do. Be encouraged today in whatever situation that you're in. Be encouraged that a failure doesn't stop you. These things that happen to humans, this doesn't stop us. We have the privilege of calling on the Lord. The scripture says, I'm not sure exactly where it's at, but it says, brethren, I would that you sin not. Of course, sin's bad. Sin will hurt you. It'll hurt your family. Brethren, I would that you sin not. But if you do, you have an advocate. There's still somebody to do it. I got a promise to you. Follow me. Follow me and see if I'm not God to you. Follow me and see if I won't forgive you and help you. Follow me and see if I won't bless you in your life. It'll be far above everything. Oh, you might not get the pleasure of sin for a season, but oh, I'm going to tell you, bring peace into your life. Your enemies? We may always have enemies, but we should give the enemies to the Lord. Lord, those are in your... He said he would... I'll prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. You can sit down and eat in the presence of your enemies. There's always going to be somebody that don't like you. But you know, the Lord can change those things. How many testimonies has there been among the saints that gave all to the Lord and had people against them? And the testimony over and over was, they won them. I've had the experience over and over in my life. One more story before I quit. I worked with a man one time that was the biggest challenge to me that could ever be imagined. He was a challenge. And at the end, he was a great friend. at the end of our relationship, as rough as it started with, he would pick, he would push, he would challenge the whole time. But do you know at the end, he ended up making a testimony of me? One time he said something and we got in a conversation about, he said everybody lies. And I said, no, everybody don't lie. Yeah, everybody lies. And I said, no, everybody don't lie. And we got into a conversation about lying, and I started telling him about what the scripture said and all that about lying, and how the Lord even said not to swear not at all, and how, you know, that gave him the idea of honesty. And you know, it wasn't long after that he was in a conversation with somebody, and I said something, and the person said, I don't believe that. And he spoke up and said, if Marty tells you that, that's the truth. He won't lie. Sometimes it takes a while, but that's part of the Lord opening the windows of heaven. God can give us honor among people. God can bless us in our lives. I'm not saying he always does. There's reasons for everything. But God can bless our lives. So I want to be encouragement to you today. God is open-armed. The prodigal son left and went on his journey and wasted his living and all that he'd done. But when he said, I'll go home, he had a father that was looking down the long winding road looking for the son to come home. And it said when he was yet a far way off, the father saw him and ran to him. This is the situation. God is calling us all. Come and prove me. See if I won't bless you among all blessings. You can be, I'm not one of those prosperity preachers. Don't believe in it. This is about the soul. But God wants to bless us in our lives. I don't believe we have to have the turmoil and the fighting and the struggling and all of that in our life. I thank God for the peace that he gives us and the blessings. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.